Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus summoned the crowd and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile." When he got home, away from the crowd, his disciples questioned him about the parable. He said to them, "Are even you likewise without understanding? Do you not realize that everything that goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and passes out into the latrine?" Thus he declared all foods clean. But what comes out of the man, that is what defiles him. From within the man, from his heart, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile. The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus said some very revolutionary words here. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person. The Jews, as we saw yesterday, were constantly washing their hands, washing their kettles, washing their jugs, washing their beds, washing their bodies, because they thought that contact with the profane world, contact with the Gentiles, contact with anything that symbolized life, which came from God, was something that would make them ritually impure. We know from the book of Maccabees that Eleazar died in his 80s because he refused to be fed pork. Likewise, the mother of the seven sons challenged all of them to say no. Some of the most heroic Jews had died so that they wouldn't eat non-kosher food. And yet, today Jesus flips things right upside down. It says nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person. So it's sensible that as soon as they are away from the crowds, the disciples asked him about what he meant. Sometimes these words can pass through the other ear of people today, but they were honest with the Word of God. Jesus taught with parables precisely to provoke questions, to see if people are really genuinely listening and trying to align their entire life with what was heard. And for them, that was going to be very hard. They questioned him about the parable. Jesus asks, "Are you even likewise without understanding?" And he says, "Hear me, all of you, and understand." He wants us to understand. Where did the restrictions about things on the outside come from? Came ultimately from God. God wanted us to treat everything as sacred. And he likewise wanted to make sure that our gods didn't become our bellies. So that's where we get these distinctions, originally, as part of God's pedagogy. But what God wanted, ultimately, is that we use food as a means to relate to the one who gave us the food, rather than made the food a good in itself. He wanted us not to separate objects into clean objects and impure objects, but to recognize everything is meant to be used for the purposes of God. So God started in those pedagogical stages so that we would be able to appreciate material creation, particularly the nourishment that our bodies need. but he was going to bring us to something far deeper. And that's when Jesus describes this. He declared all foods clean. Now, the apostles wouldn't get this lesson until after Jesus ascended. We know that Peter and Joppa needed to have that vision in order to truly start behaving in a way in which all food would be looked at as a gift from God, rather than some food be looked at as almost unworthy of a human mouth, even if it came from the outstretched hands of the giver. But Jesus' main point was what he said thereafter. This is what defiles, what comes out from the heart. Jesus had come to revolutionize the way the Jews had looked at the law. They were looking at it all in terms of external deeds, external contact. Jesus wanted it to be interior. He was concerned far more than with fruit. He wanted to purify the tree, because a good tree naturally produces fruit. So he was going to the heart. From within the man, from his heart, come evil thoughts. Thoughts that are not capable of being ordered to God. Porneia, all sexual sin. Theft, which is the type of thievery done by a coward. There are two types of thieves, burglars, for example, who will go on up, risk their life to break into somebody's home, risk imprisonment, everything else like this, in order to steal. Still a wicked deed, but there's some courage there. The other type is the one who rips off a parish, for example. Priests who take just the cash, and just some of the cash every week, trying not to get caught, but doing it in a cowardly way. That's what's being described here by the Lord Jesus. People who are surreptitiously trying to pilfer others. That's what, of course, Judas did. Murder, we know what that means. Trying to extinguish somebody else's life who is inconvenient or we feel a threat to us. Adultery, this breaking of the covenant with another or with God. Greed, this insatiable thirst for more stuff, which we can't even be happy with what we have. Malice, real plotting of evil. Deceit, dolos in Greek. Jesus had praised Nathanael for being an Israelite without guile. But there are people who you just can never trust. You just don't think they're ever telling you the truth. Licentiousness, which means the incapacity to be disciplined or even self-disciplined. You're lawless. Envy, a real anger and disappointment at others being blessed. Blasphemy, first against God or against somebody else, which we really detract or calumniate. Arrogance, hyperephania in Greek, that we try to manifest ourselves literally above others. We're constantly looking down on everybody. And folly. Folly doesn't mean brainless cluelessness. Folly means here a moral folly, that somebody is so foolish that even though God says thou shalt not, this person just takes that as a green light. All of them come from the heart, and that's what Jesus wanted to transform. When we look at today's first reading, we see what seems to be, and I know you all caught it very early in the morning, seems to be a contradiction. Don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we know that that sin wasn't so much the consumption of a fruit, but it was the desire for that fruit before the first bite had ever been taken. God had placed Adam and Eve in the garden, had created all of creation for them, but he had put a limit, not as a bait to try to entrap them, but just to let them know that there were consequences to all their actions. There's a tree of life, and we can call the tree of the knowledge of good and evil the tree of death, because God had said very clearly, if you eat of that tree, you will die. But you can see how, and we'll see it later this week, how the serpent was slithering among them to try to change their hearts. Eve would later say, can't eat of that tree, neither can you touch it. She was adding to the word of God, because you could see that she wanted to touch it. She wanted to get close. That tree was fascinating her. Out of her heart was coming disobedience to what God was wanting, ingratitude. She was feeling that she was somehow entitled, likewise Adam. Rather than a contradiction, it's a confirmation of what the Lord was saying. Today, as we celebrate Mass, we recall that when we come to receive Holy Communion, Jesus wants to totally transform our heart. But it can't remain just an external action. There are many who consume Jesus in Holy Communion as a physical act. But in a follow-through to today's first reading, St. Thomas Aquinas wrote in his Laudes in Salvatorum that the panis vitae, the bread of life, becomes the panis mortis, the bread of death, for those who receive the Lord unworthily, receive him without the heart that's ready to be in communion with him, a heart that's already hungering for him. When Jesus mounted Golgotha, he transformed the tree of death, the cross, into the new tree of life. And today we have the chance to consume the fruit of that tree, his body and blood, soul and divinity. But it first must be preceded with a heart that longs for him. And that's why at every Mass we begin with the Liturgy of the Word. Because the Liturgy of the Word, like happened in Emmaus, is meant to light our heart on fire so that we would be able to recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread and choose to become one with him, so that out of our hearts might come not the deeds that he described today, but the fruits of the Spirit. Praise be Jesus Christ.